Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode, Kiss of Death. Mike Brown, that's Jeremy Brenner. Kiss of Death episode, I think 486, Jeremy. We're almost at 500. How incredible is that?
I think I did the math. I may not have it right, and who knows what's going to happen. We may have some emergency pods coming in here. I think it's going to be December 23rd is 500. I think that's what we're like right around Christmas time.
I love it. Always good to be on with you. Thanksgiving Eve. If you didn't listen to our last show, number one, you should have. I think it was two shows ago that you and I did. It's my favorite holiday. I mean, this holiday is sensational. Turkey. I know you're not a turkey guy. I'm not a pie guy. Like, the family today was like, hey, we went and got all these pies. And I'm like, that's great. I'm not going to eat any of them.
You're not a pie guy?
I hate pie.
Oh, that's not going to go well with the listener.
Well, it'll be all right. But we're here to talk Rockets basketball, not necessarily what kind of pies Mike likes. 111-91 Rockets win 7-6.
The W pod.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I put it up on the tee and you knocked it out of the park. Alex, always good to have you, my man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the fam. Jeremy, tonight was an interesting game because it's like Rockets looked lethargic in the first half, picked it up at the end of the third where Jalen Green, which who I'm sure we'll talk about here in a bit, went dunkstronaut with a nasty slam at the end of the third. And then we just blew the brakes off of the Grizzlies in the fourth quarter.
Absolutely. And from those of you who have listened I think it was the Lakers show that we did on Sunday. Go check that out if you haven't listened to it already. And the Warriors show as well. I led us in prayer, right, Mike? You remember that prayer? What was that? What was that prayer that I said?
It's gonna be all right. Something along those lines.
I said Jalen will be just fine.
Okay, so I almost got it right.
you were in the same family. It may have been, I'll give it to you. But yeah, Jalen will be just fine, and tonight proved that. Obviously, yes, coming off of Monday night when he wasn't fine and got benched in the fourth quarter, rightfully so, I say.
Oh, absolutely.
You can see that that may have triggered something with Jalen. And, you know, I'm not – look, there's a that was the last game, and, you know, the last game is the last game, and it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with what happened tonight. But maybe it did. Maybe this is the Ime Udoka effect coming into play once again, where, you know, the way that he's coaching these guys, it's not like how Silas would have. And did that have an impact in this game? We will never know. But Jalen looked good tonight, and that's what matters.
He had, good Lord, man. He had 34 tonight on 13 of 26 from the field.
Season high for sure.
Season high. But it's also, Jeremy, what I noticed about the game tonight, especially looking at the box score, such an evenly distributed game, it felt like, between so many dudes tonight. I mean, Jabari had 18, Dylan had 13, Shangoon had 11. Van Fleet had 16, Jalen had 34. And another two things that really stood out to me tonight, Jeremy, Tari Eason, 19 minutes, only 6 points. Jayshon Tate, 26 minutes, only had 2 points. Both of those guys were in double digit over 20 on the plus minus column.
It's the defense. It's the defense. And that defense came in, you know, clutch throughout the entire game. You know, holding an NBA, look, I get that Memphis is, you know, struggled with injuries tremendously this year. And obviously they also don't have John Morant, who's still serving that suspension, which is over halfway over. He's got about 11 games to go after tonight. And they've had a rough go at it, 3-11 to start the year. But that's, you know, they signed up for NBA basketball just like the Rockets did, and the Rockets played who was in front of them tonight, and they took advantage. And I think that with, you know, you got to put the clamps on, and they did that tonight. Grizzlies were held to 32.9% shooting, under 22% from the three-point line, and that's not just a cold Grizzlies team. You know, that is the Rockets contesting, you know, as many shots as they could.
Accurate.
And that is why you get a 20-point win, you know? That's the product of that.
And it's also, Jerry, it's becoming so evident to me. And it's like, oh, no dumb, Mike. The Rockets don't turn the ball over. They got a good shot at winning. Tonight, they had 6 turnovers. The last three games on this West Coast road trip, they struggled with turnovers. If I'm not mistaken, all 3 games or the last 3 games, they've been in double digits on the turnovers at minimum. Rockets had 6 turnovers tonight, and they won. You know, they only shot, what, nearly 33% from 3? But don't turn the ball over. The Rockets have a really good shot at winning games.
My dad would always tell me, and granted, it was like, I guess it applies for almost any sport, if you will. You can't score if you don't got the ball. And so if you keep the ball away from the other team, they can't score. And so, you know, that's a big part of why the Rockets win tonight. Out of those 6 turnovers, out of the six, seven turnovers they had, Grizzlies only scored 9 points off those turnovers. So there you go.
And look, they're missing guys. Smart didn't play tonight. Ja didn't play tonight. But they're building good habits. When you hold an NBA team, I don't care who's on the court, to 91 points, that's good defense. The Rockets are playing really good defense. And we talked about it. Sorry, the days are kind of jumbled together on a holiday week. But on the West Coast road trip, the Rockets didn't get blown out in any one of those 3 games. And I think that was one of the more positive things that I took away. Even though they lost all 3 games, they were in all 3 games. They didn't get blown out. They didn't give up 140 points, even to Golden State. And that translated again tonight against Memphis. They played good defense. They held on to the ball. And Jalen, I'm not even going to say, Jeremy, that Jalen's back, because he didn't go anywhere. Like, people who were dog walking Jalen Green needed to take a breather. And they were jumping off of the end of the, you know, the plank, if you will, when there was no need to. He was still putting up decent numbers. They just weren't efficient.
Yeah, tonight was efficient. Tonight was very efficient.
Oh, so pretty.
From Jalen, absolutely. But yeah, you know, like, okay, if you take – like, he struggled on this road trip, definitely. Like, and even that last game against Denver, like, he wasn't shooting the ball well. He was 1 of 13 from the field. Mm-hmm. That's kind of when this slump started, if you will. So that he had 9 points against Denver, but they won, and he was also doing some things well off the ball. But then he struggled with his shot in LA in both those games, and he struggled again in Golden State. We saw that in that fourth quarter, he didn't even get any playing time. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a few games now, but that's, like, that's okay. Like, it's not the end of the world, you know? To me, it's not a total coincidence that when Jalen wasn't able to, you know, perform up to his standards, the Rockets weren't winning. But at the same time, Mike, the Rockets were, like, close to winning all of those games despite Jalen's poor performances. Right. So that's the thing with the Rockets is people that are subscribing to that mindset of, oh, like, Jalen has to be the guy. Like, yes, you want Jalen to be the guy. He's your highest draft pick on the roster. He's essentially the first piece of the rebuild, if you will. And so, yes, you drafted him to be your franchise too. And you want him to succeed. And it's going to be really hard to see this Rockets team succeed without Jalen succeeding individually. That being said, you know, there's 82 games in a season. You're not going to play well every single time. If you are, then you're Nikola Jokic and you're the MVP. Or you're Giannis. Even Giannis has off nights. Even Embiid has off nights. You know, like, these guys are, like, it's going to take time. And as Alex is saying, Jalen is 21. He will mature. He had been bad. But I think some of his inefficiency on offense is because Ime makes the boys play defense. And Jalen's defense has improved. And Jalen's overall game, we've seen some strides in this first almost quarter of the season now. So that's why, for me, it's not a huge, we're not hitting the panic button on Jalen yet. And no. Tonight was proof exactly why you're not pushing that button anytime soon.
And you don't need him to be a superstar. Like, this preconceived notion that these guys have to be this or have to be that. No, Jeremy, like, the name of the game, win games. I don't care how you get it. I don't care if it's Dylan. I don't care if it's Jabari. I don't care if it's Aaron Holiday. They're learning how to win, and it's important. The next.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Step in this grand scheme of the season, they got to learn to win on the road. But the good news is that they're 7-1 at home. That's legit. I don't care. Again, I don't care who you're playing. I know that's the NFL mindset of just win, baby, win. Al Davis said it best. But it's the same thing across all – just you win, you beat the team in front of you, and the Rockets did that tonight. And mm-hmm. It was just good to see Jalen just do his thing tonight.
Yeah.
You know, just be Jalen. Just play free and don't worry about anything.
Yeah, and what we are seeing is that the Rockets are winning these games in different ways. This team is adaptable, and they are able to win in multiple ways. We saw against New Orleans, like, Fred VanVleet in the clutch was able to win that game for the Rockets. Yep. We saw tonight, Jalen was able to take the torch and win the game for the Rockets. We've seen Şengün at times this year step up and be the reason why the Rockets win. Dylan Brooks has stepped up, and he's won some games for the Rockets on his own merit. So we are seeing the Rockets winning games in different ways, and that's how great teams form. They are able to find ways to win. And I feel like in the last few years, there was very few dimensions to the team. And in most, like in every game the Rockets won, like Jalen had to play well, or KPJ had to play well, or like they had to play well in order to have a chance to win.
Yeah,
but it's not like that anymore. It's not a it's not a rebuild situation anymore.
It's not a rebuilding situation. You touched on it earlier. I think the point you made about Jalen getting benched in the fourth quarter is a wake up call, and I hope so, because if he turns this on, dude, along with, and we don't shout out Fred VanVleet, I feel like, as much as we should. He's just been steady Eddie. And that's what you're paying him all this money to be, is, would we like a superstar point guard? Yeah, I mean, we would like it, but he's exactly what this team needs, which is steady. He'll give you 16 to 20 a night, 4 or 5 rebounds, 5 to 7, 8 assists. And look,
the other night he had 16 assists.
Yeah. And he scored
14 assists in Golden State.
Yeah, I think he had 8 to 10 points that game too. And Amen's not even playing, dude. And that's so much fun with this team, is win, lose, or draw, they're fun to watch. Like, there's always things happening, which is really fun. I do want to do a really cool exercise with you, Jeremy, if you're up for it.
I'm down for a really cool exercise.
Okay, so I want to do – so we're going to do 3 things that we're thankful for on this Rockets team. Now, it can be player, it could be a situation, it could be whatever you want it to be. But as a Rockets fan, we'll go back and forth. So I'll do one, you'll do one, we'll go back. So you lead it off. Give me something as a Rockets fan that you are thankful for this holiday season.
I'm thankful for Ime Udoka.
Ooh, good one.
And I feel like he's an easy person to say, because he was the first domino in the whole effect, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's the one that brings in VanVleet. I think without Ime Udoka, you don't get VanVleet, you don't get Jeff Green, and you don't get Dylan Brooks. Those guys are all part of the equation why the Rockets are where they are right now. And I think that his coaching style – is also benefiting guys like Jalen and Alpi and Tari, guys like that. He's the straw. He's stirring the drink, and it makes it whole. So as like a, you know, all encompassing, it's like I'm thankful for everything. Like that.
No, for
that
sure.
Is Ime Udoka in my eyes.
I like it. Okay, so I'm gonna take this. I'm gonna kind of lead it up to like least thankful to most thankful of my 3, if that makes sense. Honorable mention, as a Rockets fan, I'm just thankful I'm not a Pistons fan at this point, because that'll be my number 3. Look, and I say this not to demean Pistons fans. I got family in Detroit, but I'm thankful that we're both in that rebuild mode. They went out and gave Monty Williams $80 million. And with where the Rockets are right now versus where the Pistons are right now, you can see that there's a plan being executed in Houston, and they're performing at a much higher level than what a Detroit is doing. And that shows just how important coaching is, player development is. So my number 3 thing that I'm thankful for as a Rockets fan is that I am not a Pistons fan with where we are in the development as a Rockets fan.
Amen to that.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy, you're number 2.
I'm thankful for health. Thankful for good health. The Rockets, you know, for the most part, apart from Amen Thompson, who is hopefully going to be back soon.
Yep.
Angelito is asking, when will he be back in action? I think when they said when he was out originally, they said it would be like a couple of weeks.
2 to 4 weeks.
2 to 4 weeks. Is that like an estimate? Let's just say that's an estimate. A grade 2 ankle sprain. And he's missed now. This was game number 9 that he's missed.
It's going to be more 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. So a grade 2 ankle sprain is, yeah, about 4 to 6 weeks. So, and that injury happened on the 1st of November. So we're looking at maybe sometime between December 1 and December 15 ish. So maybe another 2 weeks or so. So hopefully it's not much longer than that. Maybe if the Rockets are in this play-in tournament in the quarterfinals, maybe he'll be able to come back for that. That I'm sure the Rockets would love to have him back for. We'll talk about the in-season tournament later because it does coincide with the next 2 games. The next 2 games, the Rockets are their last in-season tournament games before the knockout round. So some big games there for sure. But yeah, other than Amen Thompson, though, everyone's been pretty healthy, and it's the Rockets have been able to develop some chemistry, and I do think that's been a big part of why the Rockets had that 6-game win streak and find themselves over 500 by Thanksgiving. So
yeah, next 2 games, Rockets, Denver play the Nuggets at home this Friday, and Dallas next Tuesday. So my number 2 thing that I'm thankful for as a Rockets fan, Aaron Holiday. Aaron Holiday, that signing has been massive for the Rockets. He played 17 minutes tonight. He had 7 points. And I say that I'm thankful for Aaron Holiday because he, without him, I don't know where we would be at that backup point guard spot whenever Fred VanVleet goes off the court, because Amen's been hurt. He's been a godsend so far. And I'm very thankful for Aaron Holiday.
The holiday season.
It is. That's an elite reference by you. I mean, that is elite.
Holiday season.
And your number one thing that you are thankful for as a Houston Rockets fan?
Ooh.
Presently.
This is tough. I'll say this. As the president of his fan club.
Oh, here we go.
If I didn't include.
I knew it.
I'm not a turkey guy.
Oh,
but I am an Alperen Şengün guy. Let me tell you that.
Mm.
You know, Alpi is, in my opinion, the guy that can make this team a true, legitimate title contender someday. I'm not saying this today is the day, but I do think that if the Rockets have a shot at the title, it will be because of Şengün, and you need a guy like that on your roster. And they don't just grow on trees. They don't just fall out of thin air. They don't just, you know, appear one day. No, it takes time. It takes a little bit of luck. It takes a little bit of skill. That trade Rafael Stone made to get him here was a very creative and crafty one. And the Rockets didn't have to bring him in, but they did because they knew they needed a guy like him. And the fact that he's been able to develop this quickly so far already in his career this quickly, you know, I do believe that this guy has potential to be the face of the Rockets for the next very long time, decade plus, hopefully. Fingers are crossed for LP, but I'm thankful for my guy.
Yeah. So
Şengün.
You took one from me because I am thankful for him. My biggest thing that I'm thankful for so far this season, Jeremy, is that the owner of the Houston Rockets finally opened up the piggy bank and spent some money on free agents, you know, legit improved the team immediately to get them back to relevancy, i.e. VanVleet, Brooks, Landale appears to be a miss, but Jeff Green, Holiday, all of these guys, that's what I'm thankful for is – this roster is now composed of talent for the future, which they're obviously competing now. But I mean, future superstars in Şengün and Tari and Jalen, Cam Whitmore. But then you combine that with Freddie and Dylan and all these guys. I'm thankful that the owner of the Houston Rockets finally cracked that piggy bank open to go sign us some legitimate free agents.
Amen to Tillman.
Mm.
Tillman.
If you're listening to the show, Tilly, we're looking for a sponsor. So you know what? Hit the inbox hard after the show. Jeremy, you have anything you want to touch on in-season tournament-wise before we wrap the show up?
Yep. In-season tournament. So the Rockets are in a very interesting spot right now with when it comes to the in-season tournament because they're in the only group, the B group in the Western Conference. They're the only group that every team has lost a game. So the number one team right now in West Group B is the Pelicans. They're 2-1. They beat Denver at home. And that gives them the edge because Denver themselves, they are also 2-1. The Rockets are the only team that's only played two games so far. They are 1-1. Now, the Rockets are basically in control of their own destiny for this tournament. If they go 3-1, they will be at worst tied with the Pelicans, and therefore they will have the tiebreaker over the Pelicans, and they will win Group B. So, yes, there's a lot of trickiness, and yes, there's a lot of point differentials and all of that, and who's going to be the wild card and whatever, but I'll lay it out simple for the Rockets fans. Win against Denver on Friday, win against Dallas on Tuesday, they are in the knockout round.
I like it.
Lose either of those two games, and you risk getting eliminated. If they lose Friday against Denver, they are out. Because they'll have two losses. Denver will have one, and of course Denver will have, you know, the tiebreaker. And Denver, I think this is their last game on Friday. They'll be 3-1 for the group. And that will be too much for the Rockets to be able to overcome. They cannot afford to lose a single one of the games. And then the Mavericks are 1-2. So, and I think their last game is against us as well. Yeah, because Tuesday is the last day of games for the group play. So, yeah, both of these games are must-win for the Rockets in order to get to the next round. I think they've got a shot, though. There is a scenario, I guess, where, like, the Nuggets are 2-2. Like, so if the Rockets win against Denver and they lose to Dallas, like, all of the – like, Dallas – there's a chance that Dallas, Denver, New Orleans, and us will all be 2-2. And then I think it would go to point differential. And I think in that regard, it probably wouldn't be the Rockets because they – unless they beat Denver out of the water, which I don't see happening. So, yeah, win both these games and you're in. And look, they've beaten Denver already once this year. Denver's had a real weird week. Jokic was ejected on Monday, but they beat Detroit, but they barely beat Detroit. And they've lost 3 of 4, and that Detroit game was the only one they've won out of the four. So they've had a real weird stretch lately. There's an opportunity here for the Rockets to really pull out an upset, beat Denver again. That'd be huge. They can win twice against Denver. And then, believe it or not, the game after Dallas on Tuesday is at Denver on Wednesday. We get three games against Denver before the end of November, which is
I don't know if I like that, love it, or hate it.
That game against Denver is almost like a week from now. So today is Wednesday. We play the next Wednesday. Almost certainly will be a loss, in my opinion. Back-to-backs against on the second half of the back-to-back in Denver. It's going to be really tough to win.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. You know, the Rockets have done it already once this season. They're hungry to try to win this tournament. That, you know, they've got a shot at it. So why not go for it? So hopefully we'll be back on Friday talking about another Rockets W pod.
I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship on this pre-Thanksgiving show. Once again, Rockets improve their record to 7-6 with a 111-91 win over the Memphis Grizzlies. From all of us here at the Kiss of Death, that's Jeremy and I, in the Fans First Sports Network, we hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving with your families. Eat lots of turkey ham, chicken, brisket, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, all the beans, pies.
Green potatoes, tomatoes, plant.
I'm going to let you run with that one, Jeremy. If you're on Twitter, make sure to follow us at RocketsFFSN. Follow my co-pilot, Jeremy Brenner, on Twitter at
Jeremy Brenner, JeremyBrenner. Go follow my co-pilot, Michael Brown, on Twitter at
MikeBrown_2020. Next game, Friday night, 7 o'clock. So we will be live with you as soon as that game goes final. And until next time, Rockets fans, go Rockets.